You notice we've been in this section of St. Matthew with all these woes against the scribes and Pharisees. They're not gentle. And I think it's worth reflecting on, you know, that evil, especially evil that's trying to appear as good, provokes the wrath of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's worth reflecting on that and asking for the gift of a pure heart. We're going to finish now reflecting on this second letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. We have here the conclusion of the letter. It's a short letter. And you can see, again, the editors have left out some verses. Not as crucial as some of the others, but that is verses 11 to 15. We hear that some are conducting themselves among you in a disorderly way by not keeping busy, but minding the business of others. Such people we instruct and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to work quietly and to eat their own food. But you, brothers, do not be remiss in doing good. If anyone does not obey our word, as expressed in this letter, take note of this person, not to associate with him, that he might be put to shame. Do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And then the final blessing, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Obviously, this church in Thessalonica was a pretty disorganized community. And Paul, the mystic, Paul, the genius, stops everything to say, listen, you know, shun any brother who walks in a disorderly way. Now, what is he doing? He's not working. Drinking, probably carousing. It's a terrible example to the community, especially to the young. So, you know, shun him. As he says later on, not forever. And don't treat him like an evil man, but make him feel the pinch. He's not living the way he promised God he would when he was baptized. And that's going to be very bad for him. And his sins pull down the holiness of the whole community. That's why there's confession. When we go to confession, we're reconciled to Christ in the church. And we're sorry that our sins have pulled down the holiness of the whole church. If the church is weak right now, and it is, it's getting a little bit stronger though, you saw what just happened when dear old Nancy Pelosi tried to teach the world theology. That was nice. It was done in a good, clear, but you know, pastoral way. But they're concerned, as they should be, about everybody else listening to that. And they have to act. And I'm glad they did. That doesn't mean now, from now on, we're going to hate Nancy Pelosi. It just means she's got a long way to go to come back to be a Catholic. And it's for her salvation, maybe, that we're praying. That's because that's a very bad example. That's what Paul is after here, you see. For you know how one must imitate us. Now, this is the role of a leader. We did not act in a disorderly way among you, nor did we eat food received free from anyone. On the contrary, in toil and drudgery, night and day we worked, so as not to burden any of you. And his point is, you see, we do this wanting to present ourselves as a model for you, that you might imitate us. Now, either he's a very humble mystic, or he's an egomaniac. Most of us wouldn't have the courage to say, imitate me, not because we're so humble, but because we're doing such a bad job living the Christian life. And that's what has to change. You know, parents, My goodness. You just can't afford the luxury of not responding to Jesus all the time, to bless your household, to give example to your children, and to love them. And in a community, in the diocese, it's the same. Aren't you really glad that Archbishop Wuerl spoke up? I mean, he's our, you know, he's our shepherd in the diocese, and you know, drop him a little note and say, you know, right on, you know, help him. That's what's underlying this. It's a Christian vision of human dynamics. I don't know why they left these other three lines out. It wouldn't take that much longer to read them. But, you know, we hear these people walking around not working at all. And then, so what are they doing? They're buttoning everybody else's business. And I'm telling you, if a fellow doesn't want to work, then he shouldn't eat. He shouldn't go around dropping in on Joe's house tonight and Harry's house tomorrow night. And, you know, why? These are simple human ways of helping somebody come and respond. You know, if this person's baptized, they're called to transforming union with Jesus Christ. Now, how are we going to help each other get there? See, that's what's on Paul's mind. Huh? And then he ends, "May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way." And then he signs it, Pavlos. Because, you know, as he got to be more and more famous, people would write letters in his name, pushing their own doctrine. They did? Oh, of course they did. That's why he says, you know, in the other letter, don't be upset if you get a letter that seems that it's coming from me. It's not coming from me. I have not said that the day of the Lord is at hand right now. And so, the nice thing about reading things like Thessalonians is that we see what spiritual energy and compassion it takes to live the gospel day by day. And they had all the problems we've got. In fact, more in some ways, because after two millennia, some of the realities are articulated in a marvelous way in the tradition, and it should make our minds clearer. So anyway, tomorrow we start 1 Corinthians, which is also a rather unruly group. You'll notice he never has a superior. There's nobody appointed as episkopos or diakonos or anything else in Corinth. Paul says, "I'm the boss in Corinth. I don't care where I'm living. I'm the one," because he knew. They were great, but they were also totally out of order. And it'll be interesting to see the way he works with that. Such a combination of love, energy, sarcasm, because he loves them. If he didn't, he'd say, "Timothy, write him a letter and tell him to shape up," and that would be the end of it. That's also a lesson for leaders. It takes time and trouble.